The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Oh, yeah, it's Monday. I understand that the playmaker has a smile on his face. Yeah. That means he's recovered from the debacle that took place last weekend in Big D. This change in Big D. This change in Big D. I guess that's the reason he's smiling, acting like it makes up for the fact that they got to wait until at least another year before they can even talk about being a championship contender. I'm not letting them get away with that. The playmaker has explaining to do. Plus, we had an AFC and NFC championship game. One was a dud. One was epic. It doesn't matter. It's First Take. That means everything is epic. The boys in the house. I'm live from LA. He's in New York City. It don't matter. It's still First Take, baby. Let's go.
Let's go.
The Chiefs entertaining the Cincinnati Bengals for the right to go to Super Bowl 57. Mahomes will fire it late for the end zone. Caught! Marquez Valdes-Scantling!
On fourth and six, he flings it deep downfield. Oh. Chase makes the catch! Baby. There's the signal! Touchdown!
17 seconds left in regulation. He's going to get a first down, and now gets hit late! It'll be a 15-yard penalty on top of the gain. The biggest kick of his Chiefs life. Butker's kick is up, and it is good! The Chiefs are going to end the season in Super Bowl 57.
Good. Good stuff.
Good day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Thank you for starting your week with us. Crewed up, per usual. Danny Boy in the house, fresh from the game, the whole
fam. What's
up? Good. I saw that.
Game was great.
The playmaker, Michael Irvin, is back.
Fix your face.
I'm Molly. And Stephen A. got a haircut on the West Coast.
Whoa. Why is he in my chair? What?
Who, Dan?
Is that? Well, why is he sitting there? Why isn't he on the other side? Why does he have to be in my chair? What is that about?
Why wouldn't I be?
Because you're cheap. And cheap people
what's he gonna
don't
do, sit
in
my
chair?
My chair.
Hey, no. Stephen A.
No, listen.
Stephen A, one, I am cheap. Two, Molly said you got a haircut?
I didn't get a haircut. I mean, I've got a haircut, but it was a few days ago.
When Stephen A was messing with Dan the other day.
You can say, about Dan, come talk to me when you're 50 plus, baby. Come talk to me when you're 50 plus.
Come talk to me when you look this good.
Let's go.
When you were on Dan the other day about the parking pass, man, I said, Dan.
You did that.
Man, pay for the parking pass, man. You got your family with you. What are you going to do? Dan said, I'm not paying that kind of money.
Nope.
Stop texting me on this.
We were in the parking lot yesterday.
Listen, you guys are a lot of fun, and everybody at home enjoys watching you. But we also have actor and director Michael B. Jordan joining us live in the next block. So we're looking forward to that.
What a talent.
For sure.
What a gift.
We ready to talk some football championship games?
Let's get it.
Yeah. The AFC championship game went down to the wire at Arrowhead on 3rd and 4 at Cincinnati's 47-yard line. Patrick Mahomes scrambled to gain a first down as Mahomes stepped out of bounds. Joseph Asai shoved him from behind. The two tumbled to the ground on Cincinnati's sideline. Asai whistled for unnecessary roughness, and that penalty led to Kansas City's game-winning field goal in a 23-20 win. Patrick Mahomes is now going to his third Super Bowl in his first 5 seasons as a starter in the NFL. Beyond impressive. Showtime. What's the plan now?
I'm going to celebrate this one first, so I'm going to make sure I get back with my team. I don't think we have any cigars, but we'll be ready to go at the Super Bowl.
Arrowhead, you can call it Mahomes' house. Arrowhead, they can save that or kick that kick rocks, baby. They can save that for some other time, man. They posted a lot of bulletin board material. They don't mean unless you come in here and play.
All right, again, here was the key play. As Mahomes stepped out of bounds, Joseph Asai shoved him from behind and was called for unnecessary roughness. That penalty led to the Chiefs' game-winning field goal. Now, credit to Asai fielding questions after the game with teammate B.J. Hill by his side. Take a listen.
I was just in full chase mode, and I was trying to push him to maybe get him going backwards, because I knew he was going for that sideline. I was trying to make him go backwards, get that clock running, but I haven't seen it yet. I didn't know how far out of bounds we were, and I got to learn from experience, and I got to know not to get close to that quarterback when he's close to that sideline. If there's anything that could possibly cause a penalty in a dire situation like that, I got to do better. These guys mean a lot to me, and we come every day and we work hard for each other, and to know that they have my back is extremely it's giving me peace right now, for sure.
Heartbreaking for him. Obviously, Stephen A lot of people have said about the officiating in both games, really. Tell me this. Did KC take it, or did the Bengals blow it?
Well, I think the Bengals blew it because of, you know, obviously that play. I think that if he didn't push Mahomes while he was out of bounds, that extra 15 yards would not have gotten. And I don't know if we're not talking overtime. I think the game would have would have gone into overtime. That's not to say the Chiefs would have lost because if Mahomes had gotten the ball first, who knows what would have happened. The likelihood is that he would have put it in the end zone because he's just that fantastic. No doubt about it. But I just want to take a moment, guys, because I watched, obviously, Dan, I watched you guys on Get Up earlier this morning or whatever. I just got to give the Bengals a lot of love, man. Seriously, man. I mean, Osei played a good game. That defense showed up. People are talking like, you know, bulletin board material. I hear my brother Rex Ryan talking his talk. I mean, you gave him a be quiet. Why? I mean, everybody acting like they got bum rushed. They got beat down. It's a hell of a game. Yeah. Cincinnati came and they showed up. And they fought their heart out. I mean, this game, if it were not for that penalty, a legitimate argument could be made. It's going into overtime. They were going back and forth, back and forth. Joe Burrow threw two interceptions, didn't have his greatest game, but on a 4th and 6, he connects with Ja'Marr Chase. You see Ja'Marr Chase, he was talking jump before the game. He showed up. T. Higgins was talking a little. He showed up. Joe Burrow was no scrub. He didn't have the game that Patrick Mahomes got. But, I mean, you got people out here talking like Cincinnati talked, and then they didn't show up. They're defending AFC champions, rolled up in the Arrowhead Stadium, and they balled, and they fought. Yeah, they lost, but it was a tight game. It could have went either way. Obviously, the officiating was god-awful. I mean, I'm not accusing the NFL of being rigged or anything like that. We're not going that far, but it was just awful. And for me to have Saturday night, which we'll get into later, and to watch the NBA officiating screw up the way that they did, and then to watch the NFL screw up the way they did 24 hours later, it's a pretty bad weekend for officiating. Let's just put it that way. There's no way around it. But in the end, I'm going to tell you that Burrow being uncharacteristic in his performance, throwing those two interceptions, not getting any kind of running game whatsoever from Mixon, and still being in this game, and it comes down to Osei, and props to him, man. Listen, standing up, doing the interview, he was heartbroken. We know it. He know he made a mistake or whatever, but he played his butt off, man. I have a lot of respect for what I saw. Cincinnati, to chirp like what they were chirping. They showed up against Patrick Mahomes. They looking at him, I'm like, I didn't know he would be able to do what he did with a high ankle sprain. The way that he played last night, I mean, it was absolutely sensational on his part, no doubt about it. But to see Cincinnati fight the way that they fought, I mean, I don't have any problem with them talking, because as far as I'm concerned, they showed up and played. It came down to me to that penalty that really, really cost them. And that's why I say I think they blew it, because that penalty, to me, if that doesn't happen, I believe we're going into overtime. That's the only reason I say that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was a great game, guys. It was a great game. And my heart bleeds for that young man, man, because I know, I know he's going to live with that the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. The rest of his life, he's going to think about that moment, that play. Every year he lines up to play football somehow, somewhere. I hope that pain pushes him to his greatest promise and he does great things in the league. But I know I've been in that situation. I got plays running in my head for the rest of my life, and I walked away with 3 rings. So I know that's going to stick with him forever. So you feel for him. But, boy, this ain't got nothing to do with Cincinnati. Even with that penalty, giving this game away. Y'all, this got everything to do with that man raising his hands up and saying, I am he. All y'all kept trying to make somebody else me. That's what Patrick Mahomes is saying. Dan, You know I love you, Dan.
Hold on.
But I love you, Dan. But last week when we sat right here, y'all, we were right in here when Dan said, boy, I'm looking at Joe Burrow.
And what I said.
I think he's the best quarterback in the National Football League.
Right.
That's what you say. I think he's the best quarterback in the National Football League. And you started that little heat thing rolling downhill. And then the politician, they going to jump in and call it Barrowhead and all of that. You put this man legacy right on display. And this man said, no, 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 no. I am he. On one leg. On one leg. Hey, if Patrick Mahomes was totally healthy and he had Tyreek Hill, he was at full strength and he won that game and Joe Burrow made all those mistakes, I said maybe okay, maybe they blew it. But Patrick Mahomes did it without Tyreek Hill and on one leg after all of y'all had said that he's not the best in the league. You saw every one of his teammates come up and say, we got your back. Yes, you are the best in the league. And don't tell me about bulletin board material. It did make a difference in this game right here. If ever you get a guy right after they win the game, the first thing players are talking about is what they heard and what they read. It makes a difference. No doubt. Everybody always says, that don't make no difference. They're going to play hard. No doubt I'm going to play hard. But in every game, it's going to come down to, okay, it's not about skill. This is about will. This is man to man who wants it more. And when I start thinking about how you disrespected me and how you talked about me, I am going to get some more in my will to put on this field and win this game. And that was what we saw last night. Kansas City, good job for standing up and taking that crown back. Because that's what Patrick Mahomes did. That's what Kansas City did. All these teams spent the whole year. And I was thinking about this the other day. Every team in the AFC West, they build their whole roster to take down Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
And Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes just said again.
Yeah.
I am he. Dan O, I am he.
You are not, really not, all right. Not Joe Brown,
not anybody else. But Patrick Mahomes said, I am he.
All right, to answer the question, the Chiefs took this. The Bengals did
they
not
took it.
Patrick and really Chris Jones. Let me make something very, because you just try to come at me right here. This is what I said last week. I said, right now, Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in football. That being said, Patrick Mahomes is the best player.
Right.
And he's the best player I've ever seen. He's the best playmaker in the NFL.
No doubt. That's exactly what you said, Dan.
Right.
But that ain't what they heard in the locker room. All they heard was Joe Burrow was the best. I guarantee you he cares.
Since Patrick stepped foot on the field in week 17 of his second season in the NFL, I was like, this kid's different.
Right.
Or first season in the NFL.
Right.
I've called him the best player in the league for years. What I was saying last week was when it came to like the rhythm and timing, anticipation, all that stuff.
I understand.
Joe Burrow was doing that better. What happened yesterday was exactly what I said. The inexplainable. That's what Patrick does. Can you explain the Kelce touchdown?
Right.
No,
I'm with you.
But how the heck does that happen? Can you explain the MVS touchdown?
But
that's what Patrick is. Right. Patrick's the best player in the sport. Joe Burrow was quarterbacking better. That's not a debate. That's a real thing. When it came to the bullet points of like, oh, quarterbacking's this. Joe Burrow was cumulatively doing that better. What we saw was another vintage performance by Patrick. The reason why we go with that?
Yeah. Let me just say, because But let me just say this. Because when I went to therapy with my wife, they said to me, you know, there are two parts of a conversation. It's what one says and how one receives. See, you got to realize what you said, but how they received it in the locker room is, oh, Joe Burrow's better. And then we got Barrowhead. All of these things added up to something, and you saw it.
I don't think anybody actually thought Joe Burrow was a quote-unquote better player than Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, no. But you knew how to break it down. But they only heard that he was better. And that's why they made the statements after the game that 15 is the guy. That's what made it so great.
Right.
Because I watch them guys protect their quarterback. That's what made it so great.
Real quick, Stephen A., before you jump in, because I want to put into context what kind of happened really on both sides of the football. Right. So I thought Chris Jones had an Aaron Donald type of performance. He was beaten 38 passes by Cincinnati, 31 double teams on Chris Jones. So it was either Chris won or somebody else did. Steve Spagnuolo did a great job.
But they didn't double up on him on that last sack.
Right.
100%. I have no idea. They didn't chip him something. But his performance was so dominant that it completely, and I think the Boyd injury when for Cincinnati completely changed the game because they started to double Jamar and T. And then offensively, for Patrick, he was on one leg. His top three receivers were out. Guys, they ran the ball for 34 yards. Right. Their longest run went 6 yards. In a conference championship game against a team that won 10 games in a row, for Patrick to have that performance, that feels like one of the benchmark performances of a career that's already one of the best we've seen. Right.
Well, first of all, let's a couple of things we got to point out here. First of all, Joe Burrow doesn't play against Patrick Mahomes on offense. Patrick Mahomes is on the sideline. When you're talking about Burrowhead, you're talking about Joe Burrow being able to go in there against that Kansas City defense and do what he did to them the previous three times he's played against them, which is beat them. In the first quarter, the Kansas City Chiefs had 3 sacks. In the first quarter. So what I'm saying is props if you want to make an argument on behalf of the Kansas City Chiefs. It starts there. It starts with the fact that they immediately let it be known you are going to have a rough day. We are here. And by the way, Willie Gay, he ultimately got hurt. But he had one of those sacks before he got hurt and he went on out and he was the one chirping on behalf of the Kansas City Chiefs, all right, before the game and he showed up before he got hurt. What I'm saying to y'all is this, though. When we talk about Patrick Mahomes, let's understand this. 29, 43, 326 yards, 2 touchdowns. Is that really foreign for Patrick Mahomes? It's not.
No, but Patrick great. Mahomes, no, with, but no, it's no, still no, great.
It's great. I'm saying,
it's great.
Right. Listen to me. It's great. What I'm saying is we knew coming in the greatness was going to be there to some degree. We questioned about the high ankle sprain. That was the only issue about Patrick Mahomes. Outside of that, nobody is expecting him to wet the bed. What you did expect was for Joe Burrow to have a response, for Joe Burrow to step up and to say, excuse me, I've been that dude, and guess what? I've arrived. And that did not happen. In light, because of Chris Jones to some degree, but also the bottom line is, again, they were helped by some mistakes and some awful, awful officiating. Awful officiating. And right, we all know that. Let's not act like we don't know that now.
The officiating was stunk.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Because they were still in a position to lose this game, despite Patrick Mahomes' greatness. Let's remember that.
Yeah. With three backup offensive linemen and no Boyd.
Right.
Totally.
With all due respect, man, and I've never seen on TV, oh, somebody lying. I will just say you're being disingenuous. Let me tell you what I'm saying here.
You think I'm lying, say I'm lying?
No, don't stutter.
What,
no, no,
I'm not scared.
I'm talking about all of this love throwing towards defense. And Joe Burrow beat the Kansas City Chief defense. That ain't what I heard in here. That ain't what I've been hearing in here. We ain't saying nothing about Joe Burrow beating the Kansas City Chiefs defense. We talked about Joe Burrow beating Patrick Mahomes. Now we want to start pulling it out and talking about Joe Burrow beating the Kansas City Chiefs. No. We talking about Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes, who's the best quarterback. We had this debate right here. Who's the best quarterback? Right here, right now. That's what they heard. That's what they heard. So we can't pull out now. Yes, the defense played well. But it ain't like Patrick Mahomes only put up 150 yards or 160. He put up a standard game, a game that only him, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady has put up multiple times. And look at the games that he's with. Come on, guys, let's be real about this. Let's not take no love away from the baddest man in the game. And this story, this football, it tells such great stories, and it told another great story last night with Patrick Mahomes playing the way he played and doing the things he did on one leg. You know stories always grow greater later. Sooner or later, in a few years, we're going to be talking about Patrick Mahomes played this game with no legs at all and still won.
I don't think anyone wants to take any flowers away from Patrick, though. We all are marveling at the performance by Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
The fact that he did it on one leg, I honestly thought they were going to try to pound the football because I didn't know how well he would move. He looked great. But I think the point, that's why I'm on your side on this.
I think the
Chiefs took the game. But my point is the gutsy performance, the mentality by it, the reality for Cincinnati of the backup offensive lineman. And once Boyd went out, this game – at least schematically, completely flipped. But I would agree with you that, like, Patrick completely took over this game. And one of the things that I said on Get Up this morning is we so often marvel at the stuff that Patrick does. It was more for me the non-flashy stuff that stood out. Some of the dump downs, the check downs, the little pocket movement just to make sure I had a throwing lane more than the jaw drop. Like, I think the play of the game, and I did this on Get, we were talking about it, the third and seven to MVS. That is the third down before the touchdown pass to MVS. Because if they don't get that, they don't ever get to 20 points.
Right. And let me give MVS some credit, too, man, because I sit here as wide receiver, and I'll talk about, okay, I don't know about these guys, who's going to step up in those big moments. And we watch those receivers, you know, make some plays, but then not show up at times. That was big what MVS did, showing up, because they weren't all perfect throws.
Right.
And he made plays, like that play right there.
Yeah.
Then he made plays. He showed up. He said, this was a perfect time. I thought he made a hell of a statement.
Yeah.
If he can continue doing this, in Kansas City.
You know what else, it'll be ugly. I would say this. This is when we get into the draft season and whatnot. I think it's fair now to say no longer is it okay to use a quarterback's talents, traits, skill set, and say it reminds of us of Patrick Mahomes. Patrick is such an outlier. He's such an outlier.
Yeah.
He is one of one.
Different dude.
So no matter what kids that look like coming out of college, I was guilty of it. I will never do it again. And if I do, call me on it. He is an outlier, both talent-wise, mentality-wise, leadership-wise, emotional stability-wise. He's one of one. And that's why he's the best player in the NFL. Best player in the NFL.
And I, all due respect, I'm a spiritual man. I say he is God playing quarterback.
All right, settle down.
He is.
Oh,
okay.
My Lord.
So you took it too far.
We were so good.
We take it too far. That's what I do.
Because you don't use the three letters. You took it too far. Michael.
The longest yard, you know.
Michael.
You always take it too far.
You always take it too far. You do. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Oh, the game was great. My kids found out the term mother is attached to things other than just mom.
Oh, that's great.
I think my 11-year-old son.
The city of brotherly love educated them.
The tailgate was nuts. I'm pretty sure my son got flashed and the middle finger too by the same girl who was like 20 years old at the same time. My son looked at me like, did that just happen? I was like, welcome to life.
You're
and
like,
I don't know if the girl was
belly.
Being mean or like messing with him.
Yeah.
Hold on, Molly.
I'm
Molly,
glad it all worked out.
Molly,
yeah.
Molly, before we move on, Dan Orlovsky, where were you and your family
here
sitting?
Here we go.
We were up in the mezzanine level. We were in the people, Stephen A.
All right, let's go to the NFC Championship
Stephen
game.
Stephen A, man.
Let's go.
Stephen A.
Roll it. Producers, let's just go.
Stephen A.
Let's go. The mezzanine, his face. We said enough. The NFC Championship game was lopsided, to say the least, as Philadelphia went on to absolutely dominate 31-7. San Francisco dealt with quarterback injuries all season. That trend continued on Sunday, ending their Super Bowl dreams. Brock Purdy suffered a right elbow injury on the Niners' first offensive drive and returned in the second half when his backup, Josh Johnson, was lost to concussion. But Purdy's elbow severely limited his ability to throw. As for Philly, they're headed to Arizona. Jalen, what does this mean to you?
I said this earlier in the week that it's not a time for reflection. You know, it's hard. It's really hard for me to do that. I try to, what you guys say, enjoy the moment. But my joy comes in winning. But I know the job isn't done. So I never felt like I never always knew how far we'd come. I never knew how far we'd go. But I never said it couldn't be done.
How's that feel to lose in the NFC Championship game because I don't have a quarterback? Pretty to be honest. Yeah, that's about it.
Tough loss for Kittle. Yeah. By the way, that jacket, fire. Not a lot of people can pull that off. Unreal. Stephen really? A. Oh, so good. The purple?
You know.
The purple leather jacket? Are you kidding me? With the matching hardware with the watch? Fire. Stephen A., what word would you use to describe this game?
Sadness. I was really, really sad. I picked the Eagles to win this game. I'm very, very happy that they're going to the Super Bowl. I expect them to win it. But on Championship Sunday, you don't expect what happened to happen. Now, granted, it wasn't some freak injury. The Eagles injured Brock Purdy by getting to him. They injured, you know, Josh Johnson by getting to him. We understand all of that. I get all of that. I understand it. All I'm saying is that to be in a situation where literally for the second half of a championship game, you cannot throw the football. You have to run it because you don't have a quarterback, because all your quarterbacks are out. And in the case of the San Francisco 49ers, their fourth string got hurt. You know, Trey Lance goes down. Jimmy Garoppolo goes down. Brock Purdy goes down yesterday after being undefeated as a quarterback and completing all four of his passes before he got hurt. And then Josh Johnson comes in and he gets hurt. It's a damn shame. It really, really is. The Eagles are no joke. They deserve a lot of credit. Nobody's trying to take anything away from them. But that was a dud of an NFC championship game because, listen, the Eagles are an elite team. How are you supposed to have a chance when everybody and their mother knows that every play has to be a running play because you have no quarterback? Literally, Christian McCaffrey had to play quarterback. He only threw one pass. But literally, he had to play quarterback because all your passers were injured. Now, think about this. There's Debo. That's Debo Samuels on the other side of the football. That's Christian McCaffrey on the other side of the football. That's George Kittle on the other side of the football. That's Kyle Shanahan calling plays. And I felt incredibly sad because I know it would have been a better game. Again, I picked the Eagles to win.
Right.
But I know it would have been a better game. And I felt bad for San Francisco. Look at them on the sideline. It's like it was hopeless. It was like, damn. Right. You know, we worked this hard. We get to this point. And injuries have taken this away from us where we don't even have another quarterback on the depth chart. We can't even put a quarterback on the field because we ran out of them because they're injured. It's like, damn, you know, I mean, you can't run routes. You got to go run option or just run a flat out run and play against the Eagles, which was the number one team all season. They had no hope. They had no chance. And that completely deflated the NFC Championship game. And it was just really, really sad.
Absolutely.
To see that happen. It really, really was.
Let me piggyback on that. And, Michael, I'll start with you here because obviously my Giants were a cakewalk for the Eagles, right? They got demolished. And then now we saw the Niners down to their fourth-string quarterback. Do you think Philly's actually been tested enough?
Yes, I do. And let me tell you what I mean when I say yes, I do. Because I know we'll start back and at the beginning of the year, I went on the radio in Philly and talked, man, this could be a dynasty because you looked at the schedule and it was such an easy schedule. And you thought, oh, they got the easiest schedule in the National Football League. And I was looking at you go through it and said, well, they're not playing the Buffaloes or the teams like Cincinnati, you know. But let me tell you this. This team right here, this team, you ask, have they been tested? They started out 8-0, lost the game, Then went on another 5-game win streak, then lose Jalen Hurts, of course, and then lose 2 games without him. I don't care who you play in the National Football League. You go 8-0, you're doing something. And what makes this legitimate is that's what we're doing right here. We're legitimizing what they've done and accomplished. What makes it legitimate is how they do it. They do it with physical football. You can't replace it. You can't beat it. If you can find it, you should keep it. Physical football. Everybody knows San Fran had a physical football team. They out-physical, the most physical football team in the National Football League. Physical football will always win you football games. This is legit no matter who they see or no matter when they see Kansas City. Kansas City better be ready to put points on the board to try to take away some of this physicalness.
I mean, this team's played 19 games. Of course they've been tested.
Right.
Now, maybe they've had a relatively
easier
path in the
playoffs. You know what I mean by
playoffs,
that, yes.
But here's – all right. Right. So we have to look at not necessarily – I don't really, like, subscribe to, like, who did they play thing. You guys know me. I watch every single snap. What do you look like? I have no idea. Ryan Clark and I did this last week on Live with Marcus Spears and Laura and MK. Like, I have no idea how you stop this offense. I have no clue.
Because it's physical. It's coming.
But that's the key.
Right. Like, that's the start.
That's the
start.
One word.
Right.
Because I remember talking about the Chiefs offense 2 years ago and last year, and they were a relatively RPO-based offense. And I thought, and the word I used was, I think their offensive line had gotten a little soft because they were so dependent on the RPO. Is Patrick handed it off, or are we running it? This offensive line for Philadelphia don't care, man.
We'll lean on you.
I was at the game. The first run of the game. First run of the game. They take the San Francisco 49er defensive line and move them 4 yards off the ball. 4. That linebacker crew of Greenlaw and Fred Warner are the most downhill aggressive linebacker crew in football. Dude, those guys played like this the whole game. So hesitant. So slow, my chair's getting away. Yeah. So, like, I'm not worried about them. I look at it differently. I don't know how you stop them. I don't know how you stop their offense.
Right.
Jalen did not play well yesterday as a passer.
And that's
3 quarters, hung 31. And they didn't even play good throwing the football. So I'm not worried about how they've been tested. I think the thing that has stood out about their defense, I talked about the run game. That's what we're seeing on the clip right now. This offensive line has got 2 Hall of Famers, everyone. Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson are Hall of Famers on the offensive line. Kansas City doesn't have that right now. Okay. The thing about their defense is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Avante Maddox changed their defense.
Right.
Changed their defense. And now Slay and Bradbury, all they're doing is playing man coverage, and they're hunting the quarterback. I have no concern about them not being tested or not. They played 19 games.
Let me say something to both of y'all. I don't appreciate y'all getting on my nerves on a Monday morning in the first hour. At least wait an hour. I mean, damn. Don't get on my nerves this early. The fact of the matter is that you both have played in the National Football League, okay? You, playmaker, are a 3-time champion and a Hall of Famer.
Me too.
There's levels to this. Let's stop acting. You can't sit up here and start the damn show talking about the greatness of Patrick Mahomes and then look at the Philadelphia Eagles about to go up against that dude whose high ankle sprain will be better, by the way, in 2 weeks, because they got 2 weeks off, right? All right, whose high ankle sprain will be better that way, and go like this. Well, of course they've been tested. Have they gone against him? And is everyone him? You see, Dan Orlovsky, you can't sit here a year ago with your pom-poms on, waving it at every turn about the greatness of Matthew Stafford. But then now that the Eagles got to go up against Patrick Mahomes, act like whatever the Eagles are about to face in 2 weeks is similar to anything they faced all year. You know better. The fact is, you know better. Y'all just highlighted why it's better, why it's different. Patrick Mahomes is different. Yes. You've said that. You've educated about this. You got your little click, the iPad that gets on my damn nerves because I don't understand how this company, as big time as it is, with all the money that it has, can't just have you pointing to the damn big board and then making changes instead of looking at your iPad. And you know what I'm saying? And you bending and squatting like you doing squats while you detailing everything. It gets on my damn nerves, okay? The fact of the matter is that everybody ain't Patrick Mahomes. You, Michael Irvin, you played with quarterbacks. Ain't Troy Aikman something special? Ain't that brother something special? Yeah, ain't he something different? He just ain't anybody, right? Well, Patrick Mahomes just ain't anybody. There's no shade. Whether it's the 49ers and their fourth-string quarterbacks or no quarterback at all, or the Giants with Daniel Jones before that, or any team, any game you want to pick out for a 17-game regular season, there's no shade. We understand this is the NFL. It's any given Sunday or Monday or Thursday, anything could happen. We get all of that. But Patrick Mahomes is a bit different. Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy calling plays is a bit different. Travis Kelce, the Kelce Super Bowl, it's a little bit different, okay? And so when we know this, stop acting like it's beyond the pale for Molly to sit up there and ask a very poignant question, which she's saying is, has the Eagles been tested? You know good and damn well what she's saying. You're about to go against Patrick Mahomes. Right. Have you seen this? This year, that's what she's asking. And both of you know the answer to that damn question. It is unequivocally no. So stop acting like you don't know.
Stephen A., I won't capitulate and say that you're totally right, but I will give you this. I will give you this. Look, when you started talking about it, I said, let's look through this, okay? What quarterback did they face that has some Patrick Mahomes-like skills? And it was the only one really in the whole schedule is Aaron Rodgers. The game was 40-33, which was a close game. So I give you just that little bit of credit. And Aaron Rodgers ain't Patrick Mahomes. Just that little bit of credit. But now also think about what happened a couple years ago with Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay when that line could not protect him. And if Philly can duplicate that, that can also be an issue for Patrick Mahomes in the Kansas City Chiefs. But they did have trouble with Aaron Rodgers. And Patrick Mahomes is better than Aaron Rodgers right now. So I give you just as close as I can put my fingers together without them touching, I'm going to give you that much credit. That's it.
Here's the thing. Okay, so a big conversation about this Super Bowl is going to be dependent upon what is Kadarius Toney's health? What is Mecole Hardman's health? That will be a big conversation because Stephen A., as remarkable as Patrick is, that is going to be a daunting task against that defense if he doesn't have a bona fide number one receiver, as well as MVS played.
Right.
Those two guys,
yeah,
their speed,
to duplicate this.
They
got to
be there. I'm not, I understand where you're coming from that they haven't played Patrick. We can say that about every team that the Chiefs were going to see in the Super Bowl. No, they haven't played Patrick, but they're still really good.
We got to go, but I want to get this in really quickly. We're 2 days away from the start of Black History Month. It's Super Bowl 57, and this is the first time ever we will have two black quarterbacks facing off in a Super
That's
Bowl.
Awesome.
Yeah. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
He's a household name. There he is. Great to be joined now by actor and director Michael B. Jordan. You crushed on SNL. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Hey, good morning, Molly. How you guys doing? What's up,
good, brother? Good.
What's going on?
All right.
Good to see you.
I want to start with Creed 3, out March 3rd. So you've had cameos from some of the biggest fighters in the Creed series, Andre Ward, now Canelo Alvarez in the upcoming film. Stephen A. Smith is also in the film. So I just want to know how you would compare the intensity when you talk about, sorry to my producers, I had to do it, working with guys like Canelo versus SA. Could you break that down for me, Michael?
I mean, I'm not going front. You know, like, Stephen A is on camera a lot every day. He was very comfortable. He had, his hometown. He had his wife there. He had his daughter there. He had a lot of support encouraging him from the sidelines. So Stephen A came in and he rocked it. I can't even give him no crap right now. He did a good job.
Was it first take? That's what I need to know. Was it a first take?
First take. It was second take, maybe second or third take, but second take, Stephen
right.
A. Yeah.
Right. Let me ask you this, man. I want to know, how are you feeling about Creed 3? I mean, again, it hits theaters March 3rd, and obviously you're directing this. You're not just acting in it. You're directing it. It's a big, big deal where you're concerned. I'm so proud of you. How are you feeling about this compared to Creed 1 and 2?
I feel great about it, man. Honestly, it was the biggest challenge so far, you know, of my career to kind of be able to be in front of the camera and behind the camera. I think we evolved the story a lot. You know, the first two films, having Adonis Creed really starting his family and becoming his own man, becoming his own champion. I think in this film, we elevated things from the boxing to the family drama, you know, really facing your past. So for me, I can't wait for people to see it because I feel like it definitely took the franchise to the next level.
Can't wait to see it. You know, Michael, let's have a real chat here. So, as a fellow Giants fan, how hard, you spent a lot of time in Philly, how hard is it to see Philly in the Super Bowl and what went down when our Giants went up against them?
It's tough. I feel like Philly pulled out all the stops, man.
Messed up.
The hotel didn't have any water the night before, the day of. You know, my guys was tired. Like, I mean, all the dirty, nasty tricks that Philly could pull out, they pulled it out on us, man. It was really tough. But at the same time, I think we overachieved this year. Nobody thought we was going to be where we were at. And I think it's a nice – we're going to take some nice momentum going into the next season. So I got to take the positive out of this, okay? So that's kind of how I got to look at it.
Let me give you the positive to hold on to. Y'all made the playoffs. Congratulations to y'all. Y'all won a playoff game. That's a huge,
Steelers?
Huge plus when you beat Minnesota. You had no chance against Philly. It wasn't going to happen anyway.
That was a great question. Where were the Steelers, huh?
Yeah, where were the Steelers, SA? I don't remember seeing them. What round did they lose in?
They struggled this year. They struggled this year, but they'll be back. They'll be back.
Okay.
You know, I mean, they will be back. Make no mistake about that. So let's get that out the way. Michael, I got to ask you about this because the Invesco QQQ Legacy Classic is what I wanted to talk to you about. Obviously, everybody knows that HBCUs. I'm a graduate of Winston-Salem State University. It's near and dear to my heart. You've been involved. College Basketball Showcase featuring HBCUs will take place this weekend. You're at the forefront of all of that. I want you to talk about your involvement with all of that, what you've created, and the motivation behind it all as it pertains to you directly. Talk about that for a second.
I mean, coming from Newark, New Jersey, you know, brothers, you know, went to HBCUs, just how important important that, you know, those facilities and organizations are, you know, they don't really get the attention that they really deserve. So being able to create a legacy classic where you can, you know, have, you know, these colleges come through and play ball and put them on a national stage to really get that attention, really get those looks. I wanted to put together a tournament, a classic, to be able to create that environment so we can continue to get the respect that we have been passed over for a really long time.
How receptive have people been to it? How much help have you received in terms of, you know, just what you're feeling in terms of receiving the kind of support that we all know HBCUs need and anybody who's trying to make things happen for HBCUs would need?
It's been great. We have a lot of amazing sponsors. You know, people have really been showing up even throughout the pandemic, you know, last year where we were in the height of just, you know, everybody being on lockdown and not coming out. People actually showed up to the Prudential Center. They traveled in, you know, from Hampton and Howard, you know what I'm saying, to really, like, you know, put on this event. So I felt really proud that it's a moment right now. I feel like it's been a really popular conversation, and sometimes it's easy to, you know, sit at home and tweet and talk about it on, you know, social media, but to really just show up and support, we really felt it, and we're really expecting a lot of people to show up this year as well.
Kudos to you, and that's February 4th, and again, Creed 3, that's out March 3rd. Before we let you roll here, and we know you're a busy man, can you give me an early prediction for the Super Bowl?
Ooh, early prediction, Super Bowl. I'm going to say Chiefs are taking it. I'm gonna say 21-27.
Okay, I like it. Spoken Chiefs. Like a true
is
Giants
that,
fan.
Is that a football critique, or is that emotions kicking in because
emotions.
Of what the Eagles did to your Giants? I mean, what is it, Michael? What is
I'm an Aquarius. I'm an Aquarius. I'm an emotional person. I can't help it.
That's what makes you such a good actor. All right. Michael, appreciate you. Thank you so much for the time.
Appreciate
you, bro.
Anytime. All right, man. See you later.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.